Today is Friday, June 19th. We're explaining the second major Supreme Court decision this week, what it means that more young people are getting COVID-19, and how the nation is observing Juneteenth differently this year. Plus, introducing audio tweets, and we're preparing you for the weekend, from the first official day of summer to Father's Day. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Another big, surprising ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court this week. This time, the court blocked the Trump administration from immediately ending the DACA program. Or in other words, the federal program still stands as is. Remember, DACA stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It was put in place back in 2012 and protects nearly 700,000 undocumented immigrants who came to the U.S. as children, allowing them to live and work in the U.S. legally. Those young immigrants are known as Dreamers. The court's decision was divided, though, with a 5-4 vote. The swing vote was Chief Justice John Roberts, who is usually conservative but sided with the four liberal justices for this ruling and other recent decisions. To be clear, Chief Justice Roberts wrote in his opinion the Trump administration may actually have the legal authority to end DACA, but he said the way they went about it and the reasoning they gave wasn't good enough to end the program right now. So really, the White House could try again to phase out the program, but that would be another long process, and Politico reports it probably would not happen before November. So Trump's Democratic challenger, former Vice President Joe Biden, made it clear that if he becomes president, he'll work to make DACA protections permanent. At least for now, the so-called Dreamers and supporters of the program are celebrating. From the Senate floor, Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said he cried tears of joy, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the decision supports our values as a country. But critics, including the dissenting justices, argue the ruling was more of a political decision than a legally correct one. President Trump wasn't happy with the ruling either. He said the high court has been making horrible and politically charged decisions that are, quote, shotgun blasts to the face of Republicans. Remember, this is the second time this week the divided Supreme Court defied President Trump. President Trump will hold his first campaign event in months tomorrow. But already today, big crowds are camped outside the arena in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In fact, people first started lining up on Wednesday. The building fits 19,000 people, and Trump's campaign has been lining up overflow areas outside so more people can attend. NBC News says the event is expected to draw as many as 100,000 people. One spokesperson told Axios, the campaign is treating the whole event like a pro-Trump festival, complete with musical acts and high-profile backers to give speeches to the outside crowds. Also gathering outside, though, protesters. And reports say their numbers will likely grow leading up to tomorrow's rally as well. All of it is making Tulsa's mayor pretty nervous, especially since the state has been seeing a recent surge in COVID-19 cases. A top health official also told Tulsa World he wishes the rally would be held on a later date. But the Trump campaign says it will be okay because every attendee will have to get a temperature check. They'll also be offered masks, but won't be required to wear them. Of course, no one expects President Trump to wear a mask since he has not been seen in public with one yet. Trump told the Wall Street Journal he thinks some Americans wear face coverings just to show their disapproval of him. But keep in mind, the CDC and World Health Organization both recommend people wear masks in public as a way to slow the spread of the virus. And quick reminder, this is the rally that was originally going to happen today, but got moved back because of criticism that Trump scheduled it on the Juneteenth holiday. So stay tuned for how it all goes tomorrow. As we briefly mentioned, today is Juneteenth. This annual holiday commemorates the day when the last remaining black slaves learned they were free on June 19, 1865. Hence the name Juneteenth. But the date was actually more than 2 years after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation declaring all slaves free. And that's because it took that long for Union troops to deliver the news around the country. Galveston, Texas was their last stop on June 19, 1865. Normally, people hold parades across the South along with community festivals and cookouts. But this year, along with celebrations, there are also planned protests and marches to call for an end to racial oppression. Organizers with the Movement for Black Lives say they already registered more than 275 Juneteenth weekend events across 45 states. And this year, more people than ever before will get the day off for the holiday to take part in those events. Companies like Nike, Twitter, the NFL, and many more are now observing Juneteenth for the first time. Well, the number of COVID-19 cases is steadily rising in the United States. But in recent weeks, the number of coronavirus-related deaths has fallen to the lowest level since March. So what's happening here? Well, in some states where cases are spiking, like Texas and Florida, public health officials say young people, as in under 30 years old, are driving this surge. So when they get it, they're more likely to survive than senior citizens. Researchers say there are likely a few reasons this is happening. One, young people usually aren't as vigilant about social distancing. Two, they could be getting quarantine fatigue in these summer months. And three, we might be starting to see some impacts of mass protests that started after the Memorial Day death of George Floyd. Of course, it's great to see that these groups of people are recovering, but some infectious disease experts are now trying to remind people that COVID-19 can still mean lying in bed for 3 weeks and needing another 6 weeks to recover after that. All right, we have more news in just a moment, but first, this episode of The Newsworthy is brought to you by Skillshare. Right now, Skillshare is such a great resource to have so you can stay inspired, express yourself, and connect to a community of creatives with fascinating classes on topics like productivity, creative writing, music, photography, journaling, and much more. And by the way, you don't need a fancy camera for the photography classes. A top class on Skillshare, the one I'm excited about, is called iPhone Photography: How to Take Pro Photos on Your iPhone. I've already taken a few classes related to productivity and managing a remote team, which have given me new ideas, systems, and motivation. Plus, Skillshare is affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. And right now, you can start with 2 free months of premium membership to explore your creativity. Just go to skillshare.com/newsworthy. Again, get 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/newsworthy. Now, back to the news. Twitter will soon let you tweet your voice. Yes, it's rolling out a new feature that lets you record audio for your tweets. Here's how it'll work. When users go to compose a tweet, they'll see a record button. They can just tap it and start talking. Each voice tweet will capture 140 seconds of audio. But if your message is longer, it'll automatically start a new voice tweet. After that, the audio can be shared and it'll show up in news feeds just like any other post. For people who want to listen, they just click and then keep scrolling while the audio plays in the background. Right now, the feature is only available for a limited number of people, but it is expected to roll out to everyone in the coming week. Facebook is cracking down on ads from the Trump campaign. The Verge reports it's removed about 80 of them, saying they violate its rules on organized hate. The Trump ads apparently included an upside-down triangle that's historically been linked to Nazis. But the Trump campaign says that's not what it intended. It actually believed the triangle was connected to Antifa. Either way, Facebook pulled the ads, saying it broke the rules. More big tech companies are showing their support for Black-owned businesses. This time, Facebook is promising to spend $1 billion a year to diverse suppliers. Facebook works with a lot of different companies for things like marketing and construction. So starting in 2021, it will make sure they're not all owned by white people. Also this year, Facebook will invest another $100 million in Black-owned businesses. These efforts come at a time when the company has faced pressure from some civil rights groups who say Facebook hasn't done enough to reduce hate speech and misinformation on its platform. The official start of summer is this weekend. The summer solstice is tomorrow, the exact moment when the sun is at its highest point in the sky each year. People often refer to this as the longest day of the year because the sun rises early and sets late. In other words, there's more daylight tomorrow than any other day of the year. And speaking of the sun, there's going to be a solar eclipse this weekend, but you won't see it in the U.S. Instead, it'll be visible across parts of Africa and Asia, depending on location. Also this weekend, it's Father's Day on Sunday. So happy Father's Day to any dads listening. But if you still need a gift idea for yours, there's a bunch of sales on things like Apple Watches and smart speakers. Or if you don't have time to ship anything, you can always sign Dad up for a type of subscription service. And dads who are sports fans will get an extra treat this weekend. The ESPY Awards are happening on the same day. Seattle Seahawks star Russell Wilson is the ESPY Awards host, but this year the show will be done remotely. It will still include all the notable moments like the Arthur Ashe Award, the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance, and the Stuart Scott Inspire Award. In fact, the winners have already been announced, but we won't spoil those for you. The ESPYs air Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And that's it for your main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, where we bring you one extra feel good or positive news story before the weekend. And Feel Good Friday is brought to you by Magic Spoon, my go-to guilt-free cereal for a quick breakfast or afternoon snack. Magic Spoon has 0 sugar and 12 grams of protein in each serving, and it tastes great with flavors like frosted and blueberry. So try the variety pack at magicspoon.com/newsworthy and use the code newsworthy for free shipping. Okay, so for today's Feel Good Friday, we have an update to a story we told you about a few weeks ago. That's when dogs started getting trained to sniff out COVID-19 in humans. Well, now it turns out they're pretty good at it. 18 dogs were trained in France to be able to smell the virus in human sweat. In the trial, each dog smelled between 15 and 68 samples from people with and without the disease. 4 of the dogs were right every time. The rest had an accuracy rate between 83 and 94%. Some scientists say this is not a big surprise, since for years, dogs have been able to use their noses to detect cancer and other diseases in humans. So it's possible they could eventually be helpful in airports, businesses, and hospitals. And by the way, other countries, including the U.S., are also training dogs to do this. Thank you so much for listening today and for sharing the show to let others know why you find the Newsworthy helpful. In fact, for anyone that has an Apple device, you can just tell them to ask Siri to subscribe to the Newsworthy podcast. It works, and it's an easy way to explain how your friends and family can start listening and stay informed. All right, we'll be back with another news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.